Grind up some greasy, greasy coffee beans. Columbia, dark supreme. My heart beats fast and my eyes are wide. Make me toss and turn all night.
Welcome to episode 43 of Grits to Glitz, the podcast that asks the question, when is a quitter not a quitter?
Greasy, greasy coffee beans. Ah, greasy, greasy coffee beans. Make me feel so extreme.
Episode 43. Thank you, Robert Morgan Fisher, with Greasy Coffee Beans from the PodSafe Music Network. It starts us off every week. This is Grits to Glitz, the Chick Chat podcast with the transcontinental slant. I'm Amy. I'm in Las Vegas. You can write to me at amy@gritstoglitz.com.
And I'm Bay. I'm in East Tennessee, and you can write to me at bay@gritstoglitz.com. And we have voicemail, 206-G2G-GRIT or 206-424-4748.
We love getting voicemail.
And email.
Yes.
We love counting the number of times the podcast has been downloaded. We love looking at the little map that tells us where it's going to.
You're
going to
tell on me, aren't you? I have a spreadsheet.
It's a nifty spreadsheet, especially as, you know, some of the older episodes get older and more and more and more of those are downloaded. Mm-hmm. And the numbers keep getting bigger. That's cool.
It is very cool, to see, except when episode one is downloaded. And it's like, no, y'all, don't download that one. That one stank.
Well, you took that one off of iTunes, which was an enormous relief to me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's still available on our website, which is www.gritstoglitz.com. Nice segue, huh?
Woo. Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Hey,
I hear there was a football game last week.
There was this little football game between these two cute little teams. One was the Indianapolis Colts, and the other one was the somebody or other, something or others. And the Colts won. Yay!
Yay! So, go Peyton.
For the first time in my life, I think I might actually watch the Super Bowl.
I've never watched the Super Bowl.
I've seen a few minutes here and there. I've even been to Super Bowl parties.
Really?
Yes.
You have cool friends.
Yeah, I sit in the other room and, you know, watch other people's children and, depending on the year and the party, mix drinks. I've never been much into the Super Bowl thing, and people tend to get all hyped up about it, and I'm not really comfortable with that kind of yelling.
Well, I don't understand how people can root for or against or be interested in a game between teams that they don't normally root for. So unless your team is playing, I don't see why anybody watches.
You know, that's exactly what I'm talking about here, because the Colts are my team. Mine. They're doing this just for me.
Well, I almost got Paul to put some money on the Patriots so that we could guarantee the Colts would win.
Oh, that was so sweet of you to offer. And you know what? The first half, we needed that bet, that guarantee.
You want me to have Paul put some money on the Bears?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Please.
We just seem to be the kiss of death. You know, anytime he puts any money on a team, they lose. Tennessee's going along. Win, 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 win. Okay, I'll bet on them. Lose, you know? So, yeah, whatever. Well, in other television news this past weekend, I've been watching The Apprentice, and you've been watching it too, right?
Yes, I don't actually watch it on television. I watch it about 2 days later on my computer.
That's usually when I get to it.
Yeah.
Well,
But I do get to watch it.
I've been following it pretty much since the first season. I don't think I've watched it religiously every single season, but I find it very interesting to see how they analyze people's business acumen by whether or not they can design a T-shirt that will sell.
You know, I just have to say this. I am the only person I know who loved Martha Stewart's version of The Apprentice. I loved that show. I understood every single challenge and task. Donald Trump's, I watch it, you know, sometimes, and I never get it. I just don't get it.
It's silly. It really is a silly way for them to choose people that are going to do well in business. But it is very interesting just to see how they evaluate them. It's just very fake. But something happened on this last week that I want to talk about.
And I watched the episode specifically because you told me you must watch The Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew it was going to be good.
Yeah. Well, if you've been watching the previous episodes, and I think you had, you know that there was one team member on the losing team. There's one team that's just lost and lost and lost and lost. And there's a girl named Michelle that everybody decided to hate. As far as I could tell, she
wasn't. For no reason.
Yeah, she wasn't really doing anything wrong. She wasn't being hateful toward people. She was very, very pretty. And maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. But they just started hating her. And
the stuff they were saying in the tent was like, it reminded me so much of high school.
Uh-huh.
Because it was the popular kids, the rowdy, extroverted, the frat boys against the quiet girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the introvert. She was pretty much an introvert.
Yeah. And I recognized that a little too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, in this week's episode, her team lost. And they went to the boardroom and they said, well, who won and who lost? Da, 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 da. And your team is going to come back to the boardroom and we will fire somebody. And she said, excuse me, let me say something here. I resign. Let's not.
And I stood up and shouted, yes.
Yes. I was so proud of her. She didn't cry because I was looking at that and thinking, if I were in that position, I might have cried because that seems to be the sort of thing.
It was the right decision. How could she cry over what was absolutely the smartest thing to do?
Yeah. And they've been all this stuff all over the internet. I don't know if you've gone and looked at all the articles about this. Well, Chris Donald said, oh, you're a quitter. You quit, quit, quit. You're terrible about yourself.
What a petty little childish loser Donald Trump showed himself to be.
Well, the thing is, here's what she did. She took his power away from him. And I loved it.
Yes.
I adored it.
That was fabulous.
I looked at her MySpace page today, and a bunch of her friends have been congratulating her and saying, way to go. And one of her friends said, I can't remember the exact words, but it was like, he was pointing a gun at you, and you just stuck your finger in it. It's like, okay, yeah, fine.
That's a very good analogy.
But the thing is, I think our opinion is in the minority, Bay.
Well, you know, if everybody had good taste, then those who have good taste wouldn't know they're superior.
I guess. I don't know.
That's something terrible I said in college years ago. But the vast majority of the people in this world think it's okay to decorate their lawns with pink flamingos.
No, I don't even know if it comes down to that. What it comes down to is, people have been told over and over and over, and Donald and all these other business people have been like, never quit, never quit, never quit, never quit. Okay, because you say that over and over and over does not mean that it's necessarily always the case.
Knowing when to quit is the real sign of intelligence.
I think, yes, that's it. It's a sign of power. It's a sign of intelligence. She saw the writing on the wall. She knew that she was going to be run through the ringer and said, you know what? I don't need this. And she left. And I thought
Michelle.
She had a lot more class than I would have. But I have to also hearken back to the time that I did that. Yes. Because our drama coach in high school would, every year, she would take the shining star of drama and put him down. And
their senior year.
Their senior
year. You got to qualify this. It was always
the senior year.
The last possible chance.
Every year. When I was a sophomore, I knocked some senior off of her perch and didn't know that this was what always happened. So when the time came around for my senior play, I didn't audition because I saw the writing on the wall. I knew I wasn't going to get the part I wanted and said, fine, I can do without it. And it killed her. It killed her.
It absolutely, for a petty tyrant like Donald Trump or that person who, by the way, the only reason I avoided the same trap was because I was the only person who could sing my year. But
she didn't like that either, did she?
No, no. She was very hacked off because I was the only person who could play Peter Pan. But, you know, the only way you can deal with a petty tyrant is to take their power away and then sit there and smile graciously while they froth and rant. And I thought Donald was going to turn purple. I really did. I loved it.
So, bravo. Bravo to Michelle. I am so proud of her. I want to be her MySpace friend. And by the way, that brings up kind of a small thing that we haven't really mentioned too much. We do have a MySpace account. So if you want to be our friend, come be our friend. We want to be your friend.
You know, more important than MySpace, guys, we don't have any reviews on iTunes.
Please go say nice things about
us. I just noticed that today.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I say nice stuff about other people, but saying mean stuff about us, if we get really bad reviews, I think that's just as much of a draw.
If somebody's saying something, that would be cool. So, yes, come over and write about us on iTunes and then be our friend on MySpace. And if you write bad stuff, you won't be our friend. We won't let you be our friend.
Like Donald Trump.
Yeah, definitely not our friend. I have some very, very quick news. It's not in our notes bay, but I have some very, very quick news that I just wanted to follow up on a previous topic that we discussed. I found out who is playing Ula in The Producers in Las Vegas.
Who?
Don't get too excited. Her name is Lee Zimmerman, and she has played the role before somewhere, but I've never heard of her before. So she's not going to be a draw for me. I'm sure she's fabulous, but she's not Katie Huffman. So I can uncross my fingers now, and I'll still go see it.
Okay.
Now, are you sitting down, Bay? I have some news for you that I'm afraid is going to make you reach through the line and strangle me.
That's a danger every week, isn't it?
I do live in Las Vegas, where we have Fatburger milkshakes.
Wait, let me get into a good place. Let me arrange my healing crystals so that everything is good. Light some incense. Hold on. Lighting. There.
Hey, sandalwood. Okay. Some nice. Okay.
I'm getting in the lotus position, and I am ready.
Within the next week, someone is coming to town. And I'm going to meet this someone. And you are going to jump up and down and smack me.
Who? Oh.
Sarah Davis from How Much Do We Love?
No way.
What?
Are you serious? You hideous. I can't even use the language that is in my head. No way.
Well, yes.
Not fair.
I know.
Not fair. No.
I want you to know I looked up airfare to see if I could get you out of here. But you never take me up on it anyway.
I can't do it. Not next week. I certainly can't. I'm busy. But, man. Oh, Amy, I hope you guys have a good time.
Well, you know what? We're going to have to go
on the monorail.
She lives in the Bay Area. We're going to have to, you and I, take a trip to the Bay Area and go see her in her stomping ground. How's that?
Yeah, because I want to see San Francisco so badly.
And then we can hop from there to Chicago and go see Robbie.
Yes. Oh, you're going to have such a good time. I'm so jealous. You got to record her for the podcast.
I do. I've got to get some sort of a recording device and just record some sort of a blurb or something from her because I am thrilled to pieces. And you know, I have had this news for a few days and I've been going, when the next time we podcast, I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you hate me.
So vicious. You know, you're my sister, and I have to love you, but can I just hate you for another couple of weeks?
Oh, go for it. You hang out with famous people
so
when
jealous.
I'm not there. You guys and Blake Clark are just
Give
like
me a minute.
This.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. I don't know. I'm more excited about Sarah. She's nice.
I think she's probably more fun.
Oh, probably. Yeah, I bet she doesn't smoke cigars.
No, I guess she doesn't. I would be very surprised now if she does.
There you go.
I'll take pictures.
Oh, have a good time. I'm so jealous.
I know. So that's my big news.
Oh, well, I have little news. Itty bitty teeny weeny little news.
Tell me.
My 14-year-old son, Woodrow, had an ingrown toenail. Mm. He doesn't have it anymore.
Oh, good.
He's a total invalid. He's absolutely a complete invalid. If he were in public school, I wouldn't be able to send him to school.
Oh, my.
Because it... Oh, wow. I'm so glad I never had to get an ingrown toenail fixed. Because I got to tell you, that looks like that hurts to me.
I had one once. And they numbed up my toe and they cut like a quarter of my toenail off lengthwise. And then they put a chemical in the nail bed to keep it from growing back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's I've heard that's what's done. They didn't do that with the chemical with Woodrow yet because the infection was so large that they're waiting for that to clear up some.
Oh, poor baby.
He can't walk. So, I mean, he's really an invalid. If he walks around, it starts, well, okay, I don't want to get into that. Anyway, he's a total invalid. And I'm like, do you want pillows?
Oh,
do you want chocolate?
Get the boy
what
Crocs.
Get for you. And he says, oh, he already has Crocs. And he keeps saying to me, Mama, I am not a little kid. Why doesn't he just break my heart twice?
Well, I guess this is the curve that they go through because there's the little kid who has to be taken care of. And then there's the independent young man. When he gets old enough to get married, he's going to need the constant reassurance again.
We've been there. We know about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
When he's 21, he's going to be like, I can't reach the remote.
I am okay. So please give him my get well soon wishes.
I shall do that. I shall certainly do that.
Poor baby.
And a last exciting bit of Grits Bits.
Yes.
What did you do last Saturday?
I took a sewing class.
Yay! I'm so excited for you.
It was so fun. And there's quite an interesting group there. I don't know what I thought I would find. There were a lot of young women, beautiful young women who want to go into fashion design. And this particular class that I signed up for is at the University of Nevada at Las Vegas. It's a real fashion design class, not just something at Joann's, which I wanted to take, but we've talked about that before. The schedule wouldn't work.
Right.
So there are these gorgeous young women who want to be fashion designers, including cocktail waitresses at Bellagio, and there's an assistant DA, I think, you know, and it's just all this, the very, very fancy schmancy people. And then there's me sitting there going, I like Project Runway. So, but,
when's Tim going to come in?
Yeah. But over the course of about 6 weeks, we're going to be making three items. We're going to make a top and some pants and a skirt. So I'll learn how to do all of those. And then in preparation for all of that, I've been playing around with my sewing machine. I made a nightgown.
I know. Send me pictures. Darn it, pictures.
I will. I will. So that's my big excitement. I've been sewing one-handed.
That's so cool. It's so lovely to learn something new. Yay, Amy. Good job.
So that's been my big project lately.
I'm still proud of you.
Las Vegas.
Oh, that is so cool.
Isn't that cool? If we were a cool podcast, we'd have people writing music for us. We stole
that
one.
That's Las Vegas by Strange Radio, and it's the dance remix, which is only available in the Strip podcast.
Right, right. And so I stole it off of their podcast. But I thought it was appropriate for the entertainment segment of Grits to Glitz.
Yeah. Yes, entertainment from coast to coast.
Yes, yes, I'm going to let you start with the Tennessee, the East Coast.
Yes, although it really is not up to the standards set by the music. But if you happen to be in East Tennessee in the next 2.5 weeks, the Tennessee Stage Company is holding its new play festival. And right now we're doing play readings, public play readings at various public libraries around town. There was also a staged reading, and there will be a play production. And I honestly don't know the name of the play that's in production because
you're not in
working
it.
Much.
Are you not in the one that's in? Aww.
You know, it was pretty cool, though, because at least they cast me in two plays without my having to do an audition.
Well, that's just it. I was going to say.
They just called me up and said, please.
Yeah, they've got the one that they're producing. They're using the people that need a lot of rehearsal and hand-holding and the ones that needed. The ones that they needed quick studies for, people who were naturally fabulous actors. That's the ones that they did the readings for, that they hired.
You know, if I'm going to brag on myself, I do have to say I'm a very good cold reader. But I'm in two of the plays. I've had one public performance so far, and they loved me, and I love that.
I loved getting the phone call after you were done with that performance saying, oh, they all loved it.
Well, it's just, you know, I don't do as much theater as I used to do, but it's been a really, really significantly long time since audience members chased me down to grab me by the arm and say, you were so good. And come on, anybody would love that.
That feels good. And it's, of course, you know, it's something
does.
I can tell you over and over how fabulous you are, but it helps when it comes from strangers, doesn't it?
It really does. Strangers, you know, tend to be a little more impartial. And I guess what really makes it sweet is they're talking about a role that I didn't particularly want when I read the play. And when I found out that was the one I was doing, I just thought, well, heck, I'm going to have fun with this one.
Let me do the heck out of it anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a weird voice and a weird accent and stupid mannerisms. But she's the nosy neighbor. So, you know, you can do a lot with that anyway.
Ooh, Gladys Kravitz.
Gladys Kravitz on crack.
Ooh. No wonder they love you.
They did. They loved it. So, yeah. If you are going to be in East Tennessee and want to see one of these public play readings, because some of the plays are good. Some of the plays are dogs. I'm in one of them. But some of the plays are good. You can give a call to the Tennessee Stage Company office to find out where we are. And that number is 865-546-4280.
I wish I were there. I wish I could see you perform.
Too.
It's been so long.
I do, too.
But I haven't performed in forever, either.
No, but you should. You're brilliant.
We're turning into those faded roses, aren't we? I used to be a dancer.
I can remember when they would give me 12 long-stemmed roses at the stage door every night. Mm-hmm. What's that line from that song? Stage door Johnnies may come and go.
Oh, yeah. Life upon the wicked stage.
Life upon the wicked stage.
Da, 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 yeah. Stage door Johnnies are. Yeah, I know the one. I wish I could remember the words.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had the stage door Johnnies. Dang it. When I met my husband, I was a floozy.
When I met my husband, I was a music executive. Bye-bye, well, birdie.
Hey. In the same sense that I was a floozy, right? Anyway. Anyway, enough of the old news. Let's go back to the real news, which is you are performing again. And I love it. I think it's fabulous. I think it's wonderful. And I know that they're going to be calling you for more stuff. You had to get out of it a few years ago because you were so busy with other stuff.
Right.
But now that they have kind of reached out and found you again, I know they're going to be calling you some more.
Fingers crossed.
Yay.
Well, legs broken.
Legs broken. Okay. The entertainment news in Las Vegas isn't as personal as yours. But it was the reason that I stole the Strip's theme music is because the guys at the Strip are hosting Party at the Palms with Perez, which is going
Woo-hoo.
To be it's a symposium about entertainment journalism in the digital age.
Celebrity gossip.
Yes.
On crack.
You're just really into the crack right now, aren't you?
It's either that or meth. Yes, it's going to be at the It's going to be Sunday, January 28th at the Palms Resort and Casino in fabulous Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And first, from 8 to 9, there will be a panel discussion with Robin Leach and Perez Hilton and some other fabulous celebrity reporters.
Norm Clark from the Review Journal. And the guy from Extra.
Best Las Vegas scoops.
Oh, yeah. Half of them he gets from Stephen Miles.
Steve. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the moderator is Steve Freese from the Strip podcast. So it's going to be quite a discussion. And then they're going to party from 9 to 12 afterward. $10 cover charge.
Yeah, what a bargain to see all those people and hear what they have to say and then have a party with them.
I know.
Of course, I'm not so much of a party animal. I'm probably not going to be able to stay around until midnight since I have to work the next day. But I've got to go down and see what all, well, I'm easily starstruck. I look at stars and go, dang, I know who you are. But it'll be really interesting to hear them when they're not, I guess, when they're not performing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I would love to hear. Well, I mean, I would love to hear how Perez Hilton became who he is.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear about that because he's certainly unabashedly brazen about what he does. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's a very nice word.
Entertainment report.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
And that's our show.
Yeah, that pretty well does it for us this week.
Thanks for listening, you guys. You're the best.
It's wonderful.
Love you, even if-
like I said, I've got that spreadsheet. I'm counting every single one of you and blessing you all.
Yes, Canada and Switzerland and Kansas.
Yes.
Hello, Kansas. Woo! Thanks for listening, guys. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye!
Greasy coffee beans. The only high that's really clean. I like cream in my coffee like a thundercloud. Sugar as sweet as a horn is loud. If you wanna break the old routine, grind up some greasy, greasy coffee beans. Greasy, greasy coffee beans. Greasy, greasy coffee beans. Greasy, greasy coffee beans.